Further to our talk from Rosemary, we're going to try and illustrate the gifts of the Holy Spirit with streams of the living water. So on the day of Pentecost, God gave the Holy Spirit to all believers in a new and dramatic way. Peter explained to the crowd that this was what the prophet Joel had spoken about 400 or 500 years ago. When he prophesied, God says, "I will pour out my spirit on everyone. I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will proclaim my message." Jesus had also told his disciples well before Pentecost about the gift of the Holy Spirit. They were in Jerusalem for the Festival of Tabernacles, and Jesus picked up on the significance of water in the festival. The priests processed around the altar with water taken from the pool of Siloam, and Jesus explained that the symbolism of the festival was fulfilled through him. It was linked to the gift of the Holy Spirit already experienced by Jesus, and then to be available for everyone after his resurrection. Both Joel and Jesus used the idea of water being poured out to describe the way in which the Spirit was to be poured out from God into the lives of believers, and would then work in and through Christians to enable them to do God's work in the world. That's the idea that we want to demonstrate here this morning. The water being poured out is like the Holy Spirit being poured out or given by God to us to provide the power and strength that we need to live our lives. As we receive God's Spirit, we in turn can let the Spirit work through us to reach out into the lives of others in our community in need of God's help, strength, and love. For this to work effectively, we need God's Spirit to be continually poured into our lives. God's Holy Spirit, life power, does not dry out or run out. We also need to be continually available for God to use us this way. We have to stay close to God, open to God's leading, and we need to be ready to serve God whenever and however God asks us to do. This gives us the picture of God's Spirit working through us.
It was a hot, sunny Sunday morning on the island of Malaita in the eastern part of the Solomons in the 1980s, when people from the South Seas Evangelical Church had gathered for a service. Their church was quite close to the sea, but it was up the hill from the sea. And the church at that time was enjoying a time of renewal, and people had gone to the service enthusiastically and expectantly. Ed Nash, who told the story of what happened that day, and his friend were both Australian missionaries, and they'd arrived in a small church boat the night before in that area, and they'd gone to join the service too. Now, while the service was going on, they suddenly became worried because a strong wind blew up during the service. And they both had exactly the same thought. They were worried about the boat that was tied up at the wharf, and they were worried that it might be blown against the wharf and damaged. So together they left the service and hurried down the hill to go and check the boat. When they got to the wharf, they were quite surprised to find, though, that the boat was fine. And the boat was fine because, as they quickly realised, the wind wasn't blowing down at the wharf. Well, they were pretty puzzled about this, but since there was nothing to be done to make the boat safer, they went back and joined the service again. And as they went up the hill and got nearer to the church, they were surprised to hear quite a lot of noise coming out of the church. and even more surprised when they realised what the noise was about. The noise was about people who were actually crying. It wasn't until they went back into the service that they realised what was going on in their church that morning. Just as the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost to all the believers gathered together in one place, with a noise that sounded like a strong wind blowing and filled the whole house where they were sitting, so the Holy Spirit had come to that church and that congregation on that Sunday morning. And just as on the day of Pentecost, when Peter explained to the crowds of people who were there that the way to receive God's gift, the Holy Spirit, was to turn away from sin and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ so that their sins will be forgiven, so the people in church that morning had been convicted about their sin. They were sorry about it and they were repentant. And that's why many of them were crying. It was a modern Pentecost experience, and it turned the lives of all the people who were part of it upside down and right around, just as the coming of the Holy Spirit in power must have done for those who were present on the first day of Pentecost in Jerusalem, 50 days after the crucifixion and resurrection. At Pentecost on that day, the Spirit was given to people gathered from many different places, unifying them as a Christian community to be sent out across the world to evangelize and to form local churches. They had to cooperate, utilizing the gifts and abilities given by God's Spirit. In the same kind of way, in every local church and community today, we have communities of diverse people working together for God. And the presence and the work of the Holy Spirit is an essential, vital part of every local church community. The Spirit alone enables us to work together and to work for God. For the early Christians, the Holy Spirit was first and foremost then an experience. It wasn't a doctrine, it wasn't something they read about in a book, not even in a Bible. It was something that was a first-hand experience for them. When Jesus was on earth, he promised that he would send the Holy Spirit on his followers, and he promised that the Holy Spirit would do amongst them things that they would experience in their lives. We know that at the beginning of his ministry, when Jesus was baptized, the Spirit of God came down like a dove and alighted on him. Jesus was equipped by the Spirit for his work on earth. And then when Jesus ascended back into heaven after the resurrection, his final instruction was given to his followers, given by the power of the Holy Spirit, and he told them, "Don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift I told you, the gift my Father promised. John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." And a few days later, on the day of Pentecost, that's exactly what happened to them. So why was it so important for the first disciples to be filled with the Holy Spirit, or baptized by the Holy Spirit, whichever phrase we like to use? And why is the presence of the Holy Spirit equally important in the lives of Christians and in our church congregations still today? Well, it's important, of course, because it's God's Holy Spirit who works in us, with us, and through us, as we tried to demonstrate earlier in the service, to make it possible for us to be Christ's church in the world today. We can't do what Jesus commanded his followers to do without the Spirit. He commanded us go to all people everywhere and make them disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything that Jesus commanded. And we can't do what Jesus commissioned his followers to do, to be witnesses for him, starting where they were and where we are, and continuing to all parts of the world. We can't do those things without God's Spirit living in us and giving us the power and strength and equipment that we need to do the job we're called to do. Jesus calls us to go out and serve him, and the Holy Spirit enables us to do just that. So let's look at some of the things that the Holy Spirit can do for us and through us and for the church today to enable us to do God's work in God's world. First of all, there's very importantly power. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be filled with power, Jesus told his followers. When God's Spirit controls and directs our lives, God can work through us powerfully and achieve things that we by ourselves could never do. It's this power that the apostles were told to wait for in Jerusalem, and that they received and experienced on the day of Pentecost and from then on. It's this power that changed them from a small, frightened group of about 120 people meeting in an upper room in Jerusalem to a group of about 3,000 people by the end of the day, who became the beginnings of the Church Universal and went out to share some good news that was definitely going to change the world. And along with that power, secondly, the Holy Spirit gives strength. I have the strength to face all conditions by the power that Christ gives me, was what Paul wrote to the Philippians. What Paul soon discovered when the church sent him out to share the gospel through the Roman Empire and all the way to Rome itself was that he had the strength to cope with all kinds of difficult situations by the power that Christ gave through the Holy Spirit. And when we look in the New Testament at all the things that happened to Paul, we can see that he coped with far more than most of us are ever going to have to, we hope. And along with strength came courage, of course, in those difficult times. And then there's guidance. The Holy Spirit guides us in our lives. On his second missionary journey, Paul and his fellow Christians went back to visit some of the churches that they'd started as a result of the first journey, and then they planned to go into what's now northern Turkey. But we read the Holy Spirit didn't let them go that way. They tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. Instead, the Holy Spirit directed them to the east coast of Turkey, to Troas, where Paul had a vision of a man from Macedonia begging him to go over and help. And we're told they went straight away because they concluded that God was calling them to preach the good news in that area. Because they were obedient to the Holy Spirit's guidance, the gospel was taken from Turkey and it was taken on into Europe, where the good news spread right across to Rome, and then through Europe, all the way through Western Europe, even to those small islands off the coast of Western Europe, which today we call England, which had a special significance for us. God had a much wider plan and vision for the spread of the gospel than those first apostles had. But it was their obedience to the Spirit's guidance that made it possible for God's plan to be carried out. Enabling us to receive God's guidance and follow God's plans is still one of those important aspects of the work of the Holy Spirit in and through us today. Our part, of course, is to listen to the Spirit's guidance and follow that guidance wherever God may lead us, even when it sounds as unlikely as perhaps it must have sounded to Paul and his friends at that time. And then there's joy, another important gift from the Spirit. In fact, we're told right away that the early Christians had their meals together, eating with glad and humble hearts, praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. One of the first things that the early Christians experienced about life in the Spirit was that it was joyful. It was new, it was different, it was exciting, and they shared the good news of what they'd experienced through the Spirit with enthusiasm. And all of that made them an attractive group of people. And as a result, every day the Lord added to their group those who are being saved, we read. Now, when the Spirit truly lives in us and we allow him to work in us and through us, we're also told that the Spirit is able to grow in us what we usually refer to as the fruits of the Spirit. The Spirit produces love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, humility, and self-control, Paul wrote to the Galatians. So we see immediately joy and humility appearing again in his letter to the Galatians. As the fruits grow in us, so we become more like the people that God really wants us to be. They grow in a person's life from living the life of the Spirit. They're not spiritual gifts. They're more the very life of the Christian community, the way in which Christians must walk. Then one more example of how the Spirit can equip us for service that we're going to look at today is the Spirit's gifts, which we heard about in our second reading and we heard about at the beginning of the service. Paul tells us there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit gives them. There are different ways of serving, but the same Lord is served. And the Spirit's gifts are very practical tools for service, granted to each Christian according to God's wisdom. We don't choose, God gives them to us. They're given by God for the work of the church and work in the wider community. Each person needs to put their gift to use. Just as Paul goes on to explain, each organ in our bodies needs to function correctly if we're going to enjoy good health and everything's going to work together. The Holy Spirit doesn't intend gifts to be used in isolation. One person's gifts and abilities complement another person's gifts and abilities. No gift, however insignificant it may seem, is unimportant, and those people whose gifts might seem better than others certainly shouldn't boast about them. Just as a hospital needs porters and cleaners and catering staff just as much as consultants if it's going to work well, so a church needs not just ministers, not just elders, not just leaders, but community workers, people who can go out into the community. It needs people who've got good IT skills. It needs people who can and are willing to make lots of cups of tea. We need the lot, and we need to work together with those gifts. In his letter to the Corinthians that we read just now, we heard read just now, Paul describes 9 spiritual gifts. That is, the gifts that make us aware of the Spirit's presence and show us that the Spirit's at work. Spiritual gifts also make us aware of God's power and show us that God has power to act and change in his world. As he begins to talk about spiritual gifts, Paul gives us a list of some of the kinds of gifts he's got in mind. Now, in the New Testament, there are other lists of gifts too. So probably Paul wasn't intending here to give a complete list of everything. What he gives here are enough examples to help us understand the kind of thing he's talking about. So let's just spend a minute looking at the list. First of all, he mentions gifts which could be classified as teaching gifts. The Spirit gives one person a message full of wisdom and another person a message full of knowledge. These are special inspirations by which God works through one person to give understanding to another person or another group. In fact, a large part of the New Testament, especially the letters, is made up of messages of wisdom and knowledge, for example. The next three gifts that Paul mentions on his list, we could call sign gifts. The gifts of faith and healing and working of miracles. These are gifts that show the power of God in the world. They call attention to God's reality, and so they bring people to a knowledge of God. Jesus' words at the end of Mark's Gospel tell us that this is God's way of confirming the truth of his gospel. And those sign gifts were very evident amongst the first Christians. When people saw something happen, they started asking questions about why, what's going on here. And still today, when people see things happening, they start to ask questions. Then the last four gifts that are mentioned by Paul in his list are what we could call revelational gifts. They're the gifts by which God makes known in the world today something about the current situation to his people. Prophecy, the ability to distinguish between spirits, which is also sometimes called the discernment of spirits, so that when we see something happening or when we experience something, we can know this is the Holy Spirit at work or this is not the Holy Spirit at work, this is something else. And then finally, various kinds of tongues and the interpretation of tongues. The gift of speaking in tongues can either be the ability to speak in a language that the speakers never learned, but which the listener understands, which of course is what happened on the day of Pentecost, and still happens in some perfectly well-documented cases today. Or it can just be a way of inspired prayer used by an individual to praise God, or used in a church group to praise God when there's somebody else there who is able to explain what's being said. In other words, who has that gift of interpretation. Well, today we've only had time to touch on some of the differences that the presence and working of the Holy Spirit makes in people's lives. There is, in fact, all this and even more that God wants to give us, his people, to enable us to live the Christian life to the full, to add another whole dimension to our lives. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was given in a new way to all the believers, and clearly something happened to them to change their lives. Everybody who was there could see something dramatic going on. This change is described in the New Testament in a number of different ways. One way that we've talked about this morning, as if water is poured out or on or into a person. Another way that we've talked about this morning, as if a gift is being given and received. A third way, which we haven't mentioned this morning, as if clothing is being put on a person by somebody else. Clothed is another one of these words that's used. The most commonly used terms, though, are those which say in one way or another, the Holy Spirit is given and received. And that makes a change in our relationship with God. The change is produced by God, the giver, and our part is to receive. Do we still need this Holy Spirit power today to enable us to live and to work, to live and to work for and with God in our church and in our own everyday lives? Well, surely our need is just as great as the apostles' need in early church times. Then let's make sure this morning that we've come into worship and to ask God to fill us anew with his Spirit and to continue filling us with his Spirit day by day, so that we can go out to serve God in our lives and in our church and community. We depart to serve, filled and equipped by the Holy Spirit to be effective witnesses for Jesus Christ today. Amen.